Lord, what a privilege it is to gather together. And Lord, as we open your word, allow us to posture our hearts towards you. Allow us to soften our hearts to what you have to say. Drop those thoughts into our mind, into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of my message this morning is called Hold On to Hope. So if you're taking notes, hold on to hope. Rolls off the tongue quite easily, doesn't it? But it can be a lot more difficult to put into practice when faced with the harsh reality that life throws at us. I've actually just gone on now to the BBC news to see some of the headlines. Hunt for survivors after deadly India floods. Curfew across Afghanistan as Taliban advances. No sign of final victim in Miami building collapse. Shanghai braces for a typhoon. Pretty depressing, seemingly hopeless situations. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks the horrible situation in South Africa. And our hearts break for those who have loved ones over there where this is their current reality. On a whole world scale, as well as a personal level, we are all facing what appears to be hopeless situations. With the current pandemic, there are countless stories of families and people all over the world who are facing hopeless situations. And this does not discriminate. We've got politicians and pastors. We've got nurses and teachers. We've got our students and firefighters from every level of society, every race and every age. Rev Isaac Graham was a fun-loving guy who loved jokes and a good laugh, said his daughter. He was a great husband and a great father. He poured everything else he had into his church, the Baptist Church of Harlem, where he was the pastor. He had a great love of God and a great love of people. He wrote 30 books, traveled the country to mentor other young pastors, served in over a dozen organizations in his community, including being the police liaison for the NYPD's 30th Precinct. And he was a trustee of the Upper Manhattan Mental Health Center. Reverend Isaac Graham became a little sick in mid-March, and he died of COVID on March 22nd. Now, I say all this because just like COVID does not discriminate, neither does suffering of various kinds. Every one of us will face suffering to some degree. You know, a big misconception out there, and I've heard it many, many times, is that as followers of Christ, we should be protected completely from this sort of thing. Well, you tell that to the closest followers of Jesus, right? Paul alone writes, I faced labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, faced death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Quite a few seemingly hopeless situations. We all face trials, persecution, heartache. The question is not what to do if this happens. The question is, what do we do when this happens? How do we hold on to hope in hopeless situations? So what does God say? Let's turn to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1 should be up on the screen. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we will boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but let us also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our suffering, our hopeless situations are not an end to themselves. We are told here that suffering is a progression. From suffering to hope is a progression. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. It's a progression. So what is hope? Hope is a state of being, a virtue that shines through from suffering. It's not positive optimism. So don't go and nudge that optimistic person next to you. Being an optimistic person is a good thing. It's a great thing. But that's different from having hope. Our hope as followers of Christ is not this feel-good, positivity, optimistic hope. Our hope is in God, that He has the power and the plan to get us to a better future, and that the best is still yet to come. According to psychologist Charles Snyder, there should be a slide for this one too, Nige. According to psychologist Charles Snyder and his colleagues who developed the hope theory, hope has two components. There is pathways thinking, and there's agency or power, if you want a different word for that. Pathways thinking involves being able to think of many different ways or strategies of achieving something. When we have a goal or a desired outcome, we often think of one way to get there. You know, have you ever looked back and realized, hang on, actually I've achieved that goal, but just not in the way that I thought I was going to get there? Pathways thinking is the ability to be open to many different ways to achieve a goal. And agency or power involves being motivated and feeling confident that one can achieve their goals. So, on the 4th of September this year, my lovely husband turns 40. Never one to shy away from a challenge, he is hoping to run a 50-kilometer marathon as a way of celebrating / commiserating his 40th. His hope is obviously to finish. And just as I mentioned that, he is also running to raise money for children in Bangladesh who are in bonded labour, street children. So if you want to talk about that later to Sean, please feel free to do so. So he's hoping to finish. That's his goal. But he can't just turn up on the day and hope to achieve that goal. There's a lot of work that needs to happen prior to achieving his goal. He's researched others who have done this. He's looked at training schedules. He's formulated his own training schedule that fits his work commitments, family commitments, and things. And he's varying his training program, including running home from church most Sundays. He varies it in order to gain fitness, strength, and pace. The agency or power for him comes quite naturally, as he is a very motivated person and he's confident that he can achieve his goal. He'll turn up on the start line whether he's trained or not, to be honest. But he must have that belief that he can do it. He can't hope to achieve finishing the race only with pathways thinking. He must also use the power of his mind. That's in a real physical analogy, in a spiritual analogy. Whatever you are hoping for, believing for, praying for, remember that there are many different ways in order to see that come to fruition. Let's not limit our hope in God to one single pathway. And the agency, the power, well, we have the ultimate power source, don't we? And his name is Jesus. If that doesn't motivate you And if that doesn't make you feel confident in achieving your goals or seeing that breakthrough or seeing that healing, then I'm not sure what will. The second thing with hope is that it often requires us to be patient and wait. The pathway we had in our mind is often a quick fix. We want a building out here in Omokoroa that we own. We see one pathway to get there, but God has other pathways that he can use. And in the middle, we need to pause. We need to breathe in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the chaos, to see the miracles in the middle. You know, back in July 2014, Sean and I had just been on our big overseas trip. You know, we got married 2013. Yes. We got married in 2013. We went and did a big Europe. He was shaking his head at me. That's why I was questioning myself. But we did. We got married in 2013. We went and did a big trip overseas, all through Europe, backpacking around. We came back. And then we fell pregnant with Nate. I had just finished teaching at Salwyn Ridge Primary, was on maternity leave, and life was going really well. However, my cousin, 39 years old and more like a sister to me, she lived just around the corner from us actually, she was diagnosed with breast cancer a couple of years before. While she was pregnant with her first child, after years and years and years of infertility. She was able to reach 32 weeks before they delivered her son, William. And then she went through surgery and chemo. And there were many highs and lows. If you've traveled through this cancer journey with people, you know that there's so many highs and there's so many lows. And she entered remission and we had such hope and we were so thankful that she got to remission. However, in May 2014, the cancer returned and it went to her brain. And in August 2014, she lost her battle to cancer here on earth, leaving behind her husband and her two-year-old son. We had faith and we had hope that she would be healed here on earth. We knew that our God could heal her. But her healing came in heaven. Would you believe that people questioned our level of faith because she wasn't healed here on earth? But just as I said at the beginning, COVID doesn't discriminate. Cancer doesn't discriminate. Trials and suffering do not discriminate. We had faith and we had hope that she would be healed. And you know what? We still have faith and we still have hope because our experience does not dictate our expectation of the pathways and the power of our God. Our experience should not dictate our expectation of the pathways and the power of our God. See, faith is based on what God has done. And Jesus has shown us that God is faithful and can be trusted. Hope is knowing what God can do. And they're interlinked because hope springs up from faith. We trust that God will do what he says he is going to do. He makes all things new, the power, the pathways, and the plans. Let's turn to Revelation 21, 1-5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Whatever you are facing personally, whatever we see unfolding in our city or our nation or the world around us, our future hope is, and it has to be, that God will make all things new at the end. And he is currently making all things new through Jesus Christ, because it's in his power and by his power. It is in his strength and it is by his strength. We know that Jesus has shown that God is faithful and can be trusted. So therefore, when we read this passage, our hope is that he will make all things new. There will be no death, no mourning, no pain, no crying. God himself will be with us. He will be dwelling with us. And that is our ultimate hope. And that is what we hold on to. But right here, right now, we need to be on bended knee believing for breakthrough. We need to be on bended knee believing for breakthrough. Whatever hope you feel has been lost, it could be a broken relationship that feels like it's got no hope of being restored, or a family member who's walked away from following Jesus. It could be a diagnosis that's left you feeling crippled and hopeless and helpless. It could be a financial burden or job insecurity. Whatever hope you feel has been lost, we need to be on bended knee believing for breakthrough. Believing in faith, knowing what God has done, and holding on to hope, knowing what God can do. See, I don't have the power or the plan or the pathways for your circumstance, but I know who does. Let's stand together. And as the band come up, we are going to enter into a time of prayer, of worship, of conversation with God. What is feeling hopeless for you right now? Maybe just close your eyes. It'll come to you, trust me, it'll come. What is feeling hopeless for you right now, at a personal level, at a family level, for our city, our nation, our world? What is feeling hopeless for you right now? What is a hope you once had, but knock after knock after knock, you've let it go? Are you needing God to reveal more pathways for you? Ask him. Are you feeling weak, like you've got no fight left? Let the Holy Spirit pour his love into you and be the power and be the agency for you. Let's get on bended knee and believe for breakthrough. I don't have the power or the plan for your circumstance, but I know who does. So as we worship, let this be your time with God. Let's not let negative circumstances determine or dictate our expectation here today. Let's allow our hearts to be softened, to believe for more and hope for more.